Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
As a wonderful worship song came out not too long ago from Hillsongs, the opening, the lyrics go like this. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand. Now today we're going to learn about following Jesus through the storms, the fish, the doubt, and the seas. That's the subtitle of Leslie Leland Field's latest book, Crossing the Waters. And we're also going to enjoy the wonderful worship song from Hillsongs a bit later in the program. I'm Neil Stavem. This is Connecting Faith. Ted Ross, producer, Carissa Rogers, taking your phone calls. And Ted, excited about the conversation. I don't know, are you into fish at all?
I do like fishing. I like to do it. I don't own a lot of equipment, though. My dad was an avid fisherman. I've never been to Alaska, though. I'd love to go to Alaska.
Well, if you read Leslie's book and just go, I think I'd rather just have her prepare a nice salmon dish, and we'll stay cozied up in her place with something warm, keeping us company.
But a little different than the Alaskan cruise you hear about, right?
I think so. Well, Connecting Faith is where we learn from each other to encourage our faith walk and apply biblical truth to daily life experiences. And your daily life experience probably doesn't revolve around the salmon fishing in Alaska, or maybe even walking around the Sea of Galilee, but we're going to find a connection to both today. And just want to say thank you for listening to Faith Radio. If you've just discovered us and one of our signals, we've got some new FM translators in Madison at 104.7, or in Waterloo at 93.1, or in Minneapolis-St. Paul at 90.7, or maybe you're a new listener in the Hartford area at Faith 1290, or listening on the app. Why, so many more people are doing that. And, in fact, Susie Larson passed on a note just today. She got from Jane and Alan. They've been listening from Scotland on their iPhones. Huh. And they just sent a note, said, hi, Susie. Says, we heard the promo that you're doing about us connecting Faith Radio, or contacting Faith Radio. And we just wanted to say how pleased we are that you're promoting Faith Radio in this way. We tell all our friends and encourage them to listen to all the shows on the network. The Faith Radio app is brilliant. I don't know if I can say it with a scutter. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Something like that. And we just wanted to send our love and prayers to our brothers and sisters in the USA and to let you know that we're still listening from across the pond. God bless you and all the work that you're doing to promote the Lord's kingdom. Jane and Alan from Scotland.
Yeah, we were just with Colin Smith the other night, so that didn't rub off any.
He did say that he goes over to Scotland once in a while just to brush up on his brogue.
Very good.
We're looking forward to a good conversation today. So if you don't have the app, want to take it with you wherever you go, whether you're in Kodiak, Alaska, or in Scotland, or anywhere in between, it's the Faith Radio Network app, and you can find it in the Apple App Store or Google Play. And we get a link online to tell you about it at myfaithradio.com.
Speaking about the world, world religions is a topic for John Stone Street today, right?
Looking forward to hearing what he has to say, and there's always a good application when John offers something. And it's like discussing the elephant in the room, and I don't know if that ties in with fishing, but we'll have a whale of a good time in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Are all religions basically the same? For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. You may have heard that Eastern story about the six blind men who encounter an elephant. The first touches its side and says, well, an elephant is like a wall. Another one touches the trunk and says, no, an elephant is like a snake. The third touches its tusk and says, an elephant is like a spear. Another one touches the leg and says, no, an elephant is like a tree. Another one touches an ear. No, an elephant, he says, is like a fan. And then touching the tail, the sixth one says, you're all wrong. An elephant is like a rope. And who was right? Everyone, we're told, just like everyone is right in their own view about God. But in reality, none of the men were right about the elephant. And as Trevin Wax at the Gospel Coalition points out, the parable contradicts the very point it's trying to make by assuming that the one telling the parable sees the whole elephant. This story is just another claim to be right and everyone else being wrong. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
Well, we're at 9 past the hour. It's Connecting Faith. And part of what we want to do on Connecting Faith is just see God's world and his creation and his word, maybe from a fresh new perspective. And thanks to gifted writer Leslie Leland Fields, we have that opportunity today. She's written a new book called Crossing the Waters, Following Jesus Through the Storms, the Fish, the Doubt, and the Seas. Leslie's award-winning author, national speaker, popular radio guest, and a commercial fisherwoman for 4 decades, working with her husband and 6 children in the salmon fishing operation on their own island off the coast of Kodiak Island, Alaska. She's back safe on shore, though, today for our conversation. Leslie, good morning. Great to talk with you.
Yeah, good morning, Neil. I'm excited to be with you today.
Well, I always appreciate your writing and the conversations we had in the past. And this new book, a wonderful kind of a fresh look, I guess, at the gospel set in maritime culture, and I guess on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And, we probably read it so many times, we forget that there is a lot of conversation about water and fish and, boats and all those things. Maybe for you it was a little easier because you live in that world quite a bit as well.
Yeah, that's what really struck me when I had the idea for this book, is that the gospel stories are really sort of saturated in water and fish and fishermen and boats and nets. And we live in, most Americans, we live in 21st century American urban or suburban culture. And so here's this world that's not only 2,000 years removed from us, but it's also a completely different culture, and it's centered around water. That's my world every day, is water, boats, nets, and fish, at least in the summers. So I thought, you know what, there's a whole perspective here that we've lost. And so that's why I wrote this book, to return to that culture and that place and to see what would happen.
Well, in fact, you did literally return to that place, didn't you? I mean, you took a journey to the Jordan River and the Sea of Galilee with the intention of walking around it.
Yeah, I did, and I've been to the Holy Land many times before, but I went specifically this time, and concentrated on the Sea of Galilee. And there's a trail that circles the sea, and it's not very well known. It's called the Gospel Trail. And I hiked that trail by myself over the course of a week, and the amazing thing is I did not meet a single person on that trail. The trail is not very well known. So I got to be alone with my Bible and alone with the Lord as I walked kind of from village to village, just as Jesus did.
Well, we're going to learn more, and just talking about Jesus choosing his disciples and them, leaving their nets and the catching fish and all those things. But I know you kind of introduced the story a little bit as you talk about the baptism of Jesus. And I know there are still many tourists that come, right, to have a baptism there in the Jordan River.
Yes, I spent several days at a site called Yardanit, and it's where people come from all over the world to be rebaptized in the Jordan River. And it's just a fascinating place, Neil. It's literally you can hear almost every language spoken there. And one of the things that I observed the first day that I was there, there was this group from Brazil, I think, and they were singing. They had a choir. They were singing and swaying, and guitar players, and people were being baptized, and it was so incredibly moving. And I ended up sitting down next to this elderly gentleman who was kind of watching all of these proceedings, and he was from Canada, and we had this amazing conversation. But he was not a believer. He was an atheist. And he looked at all of this, and he said, "Oh, I don't believe in all this hocus pocus." And it amazed me because it took me back to the day when Jesus was probably baptized, and how many people were on the shores, and how many crowds were thronging the area, and yet there were believers and there were unbelievers too. And so it was sort of a picture, I think, of what it would have been like even when Jesus was baptized. Not everybody was following Jesus.
Think about that hey, you know, we read the scriptures, I guess, sort of in a sanitized way, and you know, just as you share some of the stories of your experiences out on the boat and in the seas, that you know, there is nothing particularly sort of safe and sanitized about you know, this way of living.
Oh, for sure, and you're absolutely right, and that is what I sort of bring the feel of the water back, and the fear in the storms, and the mud and the dirt and the grime and the you know for us the jellyfish, and you know that world was as dirty and messy, even more so than, you know, if we live in cities or in suburbia, man, we keep our sidewalks clean, but it was a dirty, messy, complicated world back then.
Well, I want to dive into it. I guess not literally, but we're gonna, you know, maybe fall into it, you know, step into it, wade into it, something like that. We're gonna wade in the water a little bit. Coming up in just a moment with Leslie Leyland Fields, talking about her new book, Crossing the Waters, and the subtitle is Following Jesus Through the Storms, the Fish, the Doubt, and the Seas. And we'll, you know, get into, you know, how did Jesus, or maybe why did he choose so many fishermen as his disciples, and talk about mending nets and sorting fish and, you know, catching nothing. And, of course, walking on the water, all those things. We'll get to that in the moments ahead. We do have some copies of this wonderful new book. If you've read any of Leslie's books, you know she's just such a gifted writer and teaches writing as well. So you can sign up for a copy of that at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. And we'll do a drawing for that. I think we'll get three copies to give away, Crossing the Waters. More with Leslie Leyland Fields coming up in just a moment. Today with Leslie Leyland Fields about her brand new book called Crossing the Waters, Following Jesus Through the Storms, the Fish, the Doubt, and the Seas. And the Gospels, as she said, are dramatic. They're wild. They're wet. And Jesus' first disciples were ragtag fishermen. And Leslie, let's talk about that. As you walked around Galilee and considered that, why did Jesus choose so many fishermen, do you think, to be his disciples?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I've thought about that for a long time, and I really it came clear to me that I can think of at least two reasons that Jesus chose so many fishermen. And you know, just a note, Neil, we know that the first four disciples that Jesus called were fishermen, and it's very likely that two more as well, because they were from Bethsaida, which was a fishing village. And then at the end, when they go after Jesus' death, when they go back to fishing, six of them are out there. Yeah. So I think there are probably six. So yeah, why so many fishermen? And here's what I think. Fishermen are seekers. They're hunters, if you will. Every time we throw a net into the water, it's like a prayer. You know, it's a supplication. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And so we wait upon God. There's only so much that we can do to get fish. So we are thoroughly dependent on the providence of God. I think the second thing is that they were looking for the Messiah. They were among the first to be down at that river, to be listening to John the Baptist. So clearly they were not only seeking God, you know, every time they throw their nets out into the water, but they were literally seeking the Messiah. And Jesus always finds those who seek him. And I think that's such a hopeful message for us today.
Leslie, they were looking, probably their Messiah wasn't what Jesus came as, did they? I mean, they were looking for a ruler to overthrow, right?
Yeah, no, they were looking for the Messiah, but they had a very different idea of who this Messiah was going to be. And we see it through the entire Gospels as we follow them from that first moment when Jesus called them all the way to the very end of the Gospels. We see that their expectations of the Messiah were the opposite, literally the opposite of what Jesus really came to do. Yeah, you said it. They were looking for a political Messiah. They were looking for a Messiah who would crush the Roman government and who would give them back their country. They were looking for Israel. They were looking for Jesus to make Israel great again. They were looking for political freedom. And you know, Jesus didn't do that, did he? In fact, remember one of these miracles, one of the miracles of feeding on the hillside, the feeding of the multitudes on the hillside. The Gospel of John tells us, gives us this one very important detail about what happened after that feeding. After everyone was fed and satisfied, a group of people got together and they said, hey, let's make Jesus our king. We want him for our king. And they went looking for him, and they were going to force him to be king. Now, the kind of king they wanted an earthly king with earthly power. And Jesus is not an earthly king, and he does not come to give us earthly power. And that's why they were so shocked when he died. You know, he's the Messiah. He can't die. But the pattern that Jesus set for us is not to stand up and, you know, he didn't stand up and fight against the Roman government. Instead, he let them kill him. He let them stake him out on the cross. And here's the wondrous good news. You know, God won by dying. God won by losing. And I think that's our model today. That's our model today. I look at what's happening in our country, Neil, and my heart is broken. My heart is broken because I think Christians are doing the same thing. We are looking for earthly power. We're looking to our politicians to save us, to rescue us. And you know what? Jesus has already saved us. He is our rescue. He is the one that we need to be following, not any political candidate. They can't save us.
So need to hear that and be reminded that just another lesson as we think about Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus called the disciples, called the fishermen. He said, leave your nets and follow me. You've worked with nets before. Would that be hard to leave your nets out on the shores of Kodiak Island?
Well, let me say this. It wouldn't be hard for me, okay. But it would be extremely difficult for my husband and his brothers who have been fishing their whole lives. And that's the thing, is that fishing then, just as in my family, it was a family affair. It's a family business. And those fishermen disciples grew up in the boats, and they learned from their father and from their grandfather. And it's just expected. This is what you do. You walk in the footsteps of your parents. You do the thing that your family does. And so to walk away, to throw their nets down and to walk away from the nets meant leaving their family, leaving their family business. It meant leaving, you know, generations of fishing. So it was a huge act of faith. Even though they didn't know exactly, you know, who they were following yet, and they didn't know exactly what they were going to do yet, but there was something about Jesus that was so compelling. They did it. They obeyed. He said, come with me, follow after me. And they said, yes. And Jesus gives us the same call today, Neil, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Come, follow after me.
In the Gospels, there's that amazing story where the disciples have been out fishing, or at least some of them, they've been out fishing all night, had caught nothing. And Jesus says, well, you know, throw your nets out on the other side. Tell more about that story.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, one of the things I did when I was over there in Israel is I went out with some commercial fishermen. And it took me about 3 days to talk my way onto this boat, but it was so worth it. And they still fish at night. So we went out at night in the dark, and we fished. It wasn't all night, but it was several hours in the dark. And do you know, we caught nothing. We caught nothing. Those long, long nets out in that water, and not a single fish did we catch. And it just absolutely reminded me of that night when, you know, the fishermen were out all night and nothing in their nets. And I love that Jesus comes along. He comes along at the perfect time, right? And he tells them to do everything backwards. He tells them to do everything wrong. Okay, now it's daylight. Okay, they didn't fish in the daylight because the fish can see the nets. And he tells them to throw the net out the wrong time of day, over the wrong side of the boat. And, of course, remember what happens. The net explodes with fish, you know, more fish than I've ever seen. And Jesus is showing them. I think there are several interesting things going on with that. But Jesus isn't already inviting them into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a place of such abundance, of such wealth and abundance. It was just a beautiful contrast that here in our own efforts, we can do nothing. But with Jesus, he's going to fill our nets. And that doesn't mean this is not prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm talking about. But he's just going to bless us and fill us with the Holy Spirit. He's just showing us this is what the kingdom of God looks like. It's full and it's abundant.
Those are wonderful words, and Leslie Leland Fields knows how to communicate with words. She's a gifted writer, best-selling author, and a national speaker, and a popular guest on the radio. We're honored to have her back with us here today on Connecting Faith. We're talking about her new book, Crossing the Waters, Following Jesus Through the Storms, the Fish, the Doubt, and the Sea. And we're going to invite you to dive in, even as Jesus invited, you know, the disciples, you know, dive in, follow me. That invitation is still out today. Coming up here in a moment, we'll talk a little bit more about some lessons from the storms, the seas. We'll talk about walking on the water and all that. We got some copies of Crossing the Water to give away. You can be a part of it. Do the drawing coming up at 877-933-2484. That's our phone number, 877-93-FAITH. And we got some copies of Crossing the Waters to give away. And, of course, if you have a question or two or maybe a comment, maybe you've actually been out in the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if you've done any fishing like Leslie has done there, but I would love to hear your story as well. You can join the conversation. And, again, we'll jump in and talk more about some lessons we can learn, some ways that we can be swept up in a fresh experience of the Gospels as we travel with the fishermen disciples from Jesus' baptism to the final miraculous catch of fish. We'll get to all of that here in the moments ahead on Connecting Faith. Imagine that. Can you imagine, you know, being in that situation where it's a dangerous sea, and it is dangerous when the wind and the waves are going, and Jesus to say, peace be still, and they obey. Leslie Leland Fields has been on those rough seas in many situations, and she recounts some of them in Crossing the Waters, a new book. She's also been on the Sea of Galilee, and that was kind of what prompted the book to just walk around the sea, to spend some time there, helping us to understand more about the life of following Jesus through the storms, the fish, the doubt, and the seas. Let's talk about, you know, being on the boat, the disciples there, and there were several storms and times when they were on the sea, and just, you know, confusion and fear must have just been reigning supreme.
Oh, absolutely, and I understand that because I've been there was one particular time when we, my husband and I, came very close to perishing. We were out in a small boat on a big sea and big waves, and our engine broke down, and we got sideways to the waves, and that's when your boat starts filling up, and that's exactly what was happening to the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee. See, when you're in big waves, what you want to do, Neil, is you want to keep the bow of the boat into the waves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they didn't have an engine. All they had is oars. So you've got, you know, two guys on oars, and the storm was so fierce, they couldn't keep the bow into the waves, and the bow went sideways to the waves. And the reason I'm guessing this is because the Gospel of Mark tells us that the waves were sweeping over the boat, and that's exactly what happens when you get sideways to the waves. So here, their boat is filling up with water. And you just imagine how terrifying that is. They don't have life jackets. They can't call the Coast Guard to come and rescue them. If they go in the water, that's it. And here's one more thing that's so, it had to be so confusing to them. Jesus is with them, but he's asleep. You know, he's sleeping in the stern of the boat. And there's one more detail in the Gospel of Mark, and most people don't, you know, have not paid any attention to this detail, but it says that Jesus is sleeping on a cushion. Well, that cushion was probably some kind of buoy for a sea anchor. Now, a sea anchor is what you throw out in storms to give you, to stabilize the boat, to give the boat a little bit of stability in the waves. So here, okay, you got to get this. These disciples are sure they're going to die. They're going to drown. And then Jesus is sleeping on the one thing that might help them. I understand, you know, how terrified they were. But one reason they were so scared, Neil, is because they didn't know yet who Jesus was. And if they had known who he was, they would have awakened him immediately. But they were trying so hard, you know, to get out of this on their own. And they didn't know that Jesus is Lord over the sky and over the seas. And I think, you know, when Jesus calmed that storm, I think he did it not so much to save them from death, but to save them from a worse fate, which is disbelief. I think he calmed that storm to show them who he was. And truly, we are so lost and we are so terrified when we don't know who Jesus is. And that's death. That's real death. When we don't believe that Jesus is with us, when we separate ourselves from God, that is real death.
I was thinking as I was reading your book and that story that, you know, how would I have responded to that, you know, rebuke? Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith."
Yeah.
How would you respond to that? I mean, you've been out in the seas. You've been in those situations.
Well, I would, of course, Jesus is right. Oh, me of little faith. I mean, how true, how true. And I do tell a story in the book about being out alone on the ocean in April and being swallowed up by a snowstorm and being lost and drifting. My engine broke down. And I understand that, oh, you of little faith, because I was lost in the snowstorm for it felt like a very long time. And it was only when my kicker died, my engine died, only when I was in danger of being smashed against a cliff, you know, that's when I stopped to pray. Mm-hmm. Finally, you know, I hurl this prayer heavenward, Lord, you know, Jesus, help me. And, you know, oh, me of little faith, I waited hours before I'm calling on Jesus. And I'm not going to tell what happened. I'm going to save Good. That as a little teaser to read the book. Obviously, I survived, but there's a little more to that story.
True, no, absolutely. The book is called Crossing the Waters, Following Jesus Through the Storms, the Fish, the Doubt, and the Seas. Leslie Leland Fields is my guest today, and she has spent the many years, her and her family, for four decades, been working with their husband and six children in the salmon fishing operation on their own island off the coast of Kodiak Island, Alaska. She also took a trip, one of her trips, recent trips to the Holy Land, where she actually walked around the Sea of Galilee and around the Jordan River in the area. And while you were there, you went out in the sea a couple of times. You had an opportunity to catch a ride on a boat and ended up doing a little preaching to a group that were there with their Bibles open. Tell us more.
Yeah, I needed to cross the Sea of Galilee, and I got a ride on this boat. There are a number of boats. They call them, I think, Holy Land boats, and they're built sort of mini replica of, they kind of look like mini Noah's Arks.
Okay.
But so I was the last one on this. In fact, the boat had already taken off. It had left the dock, and they were out probably, 500 feet. And I had already paid, to hitch a ride here on this boat. And the boat came back to get me. And so they come back, and the boat is full of people. And I jump on board, and I recognize the kids. I'd seen them the night before. They were all students from Brigham Young University, and they're just beautiful young people, just clean and wholesome. And so we were sailing across the Sea of Galilee, and then we stop out in the middle, and the engine stops, and they drop an anchor, and then one of the leaders of the group said, "Okay, everybody, open your Bibles." And I'm sitting there, and my mouth is sort of, my mouth starts to drop, and then he starts reading these stories, of Jesus calling the disciples to drop their nets, the calming of the sea, all the stories that I am writing about, in this book. And after he does a little preaching, a little teaching, and I'm listening, and he got a few details wrong about fishing, and he pronounced some of the words wrong, but I was really excited. And when he was done, I walked up to him, and I told him who I was and what I was doing, and that I was hiking around Galilee, and he said, well, you've got to tell everybody about this. And he just thrust the microphone in my face, and bam, there it was. Okay, so I'm standing there. I've got like 50 people whose eyes are riveted on me. And I'm thinking, what am I going to say? Lord, Lord, give me the words. And I ended up preaching a sermon about Jesus. And of course, I know the Mormons don't see Jesus the same way that we do. They don't believe that he is God. And I one of the points that I really made is that there was something so compelling and so powerful about Jesus that fishermen who never leave their nets, they drop their nets and followed him. And it wasn't exactly a full-blown apologetic for the deity of Christ, but I hope that I planted a few seeds there.
Mm. Indeed. We're talking with Leslie Leland Fields about her her time around the Sea of Galilee and her time on the oceans off the coast of Kodiak Island, Alaska, and we're talking more about following Jesus, the storms, the fish, the doubt, and the seas. Say a bit about mending nets and sorting fish. You've done both those things. Your family has done them. It's not a really joyous job, but there's some applications we should take there.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I write about those things, especially in one particular chapter. And it's the chapter on the parable of the dragnet. And the end of that parable, the fishermen are sorting the fish into the good fish and the bad fish. And the good fish are the fish that are going to be brought to market and it will feed people. And the bad fish are the fish that are thrown into judgment and thrown into hell. And I know talking about hell is not a very popular subject today, But Jesus talked about hell, so we take our cues from him. And I was out on the Sea of Galilee with these fishermen, and they brought their net in, and there were all kinds of fish in those net, and I watched that parable come to life. They sorted the fish. The good fish went into the baskets that would go to market, and the bad fish were just thrown overboard, and there were flocks of gulls and egrets, and the gulls and the egrets just flew down squawking and hissing, and they got these fish, and they just pulled them apart into pieces, and it was just ugly, you know, just a graphic, ugly scene of sort of blood and guts, and it was just a pretty horrific reminder of what Jesus wants us to remember, that hell is real, and there is judgment on the other side of this life.
I'd ask you about, of course, walking on the water. You've lived on the water for decades, but probably not done a lot of walking on water. say a word about you talk about that in the book as well.
Yeah, and that story. There are the disciples again out on the sea in a big storm, and you know, I've always read this story one way, and I as a fisherman, I see this story differently now. Peter jumped out of that boat to walk to Jesus on the water, and here's my contention: I think that Peter jumped not out of faith, but I think he jumped out of doubt. He could not believe that Jesus loved them so much that he would come out to them in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm. He could not believe it, even when Jesus identified himself. See, Jesus identified himself three times. Jesus said, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Three times he gave them assurance of who he was. He was not a ghost. He was real, and it was Jesus. And Peter shouts back to him above the wind. Peter shouts, if it is you, Lord, tell me to come, you know, come to you. So Peter is not believing what Jesus has just said. And so Peter has given Jesus a test. If it's really you, you know, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. And he jumps out of the boat. Here's the thing, Neil. You know, if you're a fisherman, God has given you the boat. Okay, don't leave the boat. You know, that don't. God has given you this boat. Sit in your boat. Jesus is going to come to you. You don't have to jump into the water. Jesus is coming after us. And that's the thing. You know, when Jesus said, come follow me, and you know what that also means? It means that Jesus follows us. He comes after us. And there's so many times in the Gospels I see that where Jesus comes after us. Jesus pursues us out of love. And it's not all on us. It's not just our human effort.
Leslie, got just a moment left, and speaking of taking courage, you know, you're a mom of six. You've lived and worked in this really unforgiving environment and remote wilderness. It's taken its toll on you, and I know your family. But you know, your kids are enduring a life they didn't necessarily choose. You know, sometimes God gives us assignments that we don't necessarily choose either. Say a bit about maybe sacrifice and loss, and just some final lessons there.
Yeah, it's true. You know, fishing is a hard, hard life, and, you know, my kids have grown up in it, and, you know, if you ask them, do you love it, they're probably not going to say yes. They're probably going to say, it's really hard work. And one of the things I talk about in this book is really the pain of whether or not my kids are going to come back. Four of them are grown. And I don't know if any of them will come back to sort of take over the business. And it's very sad to me to think about my kids all growing up and leaving, and just, you know, my husband and I left there fishing, you know, by ourselves. That's really sad to me. But one of the things that I want to just to leave with your listeners is that Jesus has come to us not to save us from storm and from suffering. He has come to save us through storm and through suffering. And I think when the disciples said yes to Jesus, that they would follow after Jesus, they had no idea that Jesus was going to die. They had no idea that Jesus was going to give up his life for them. They had no idea of the storms and the suffering ahead, but they also had no idea of the incredible abundance and love and joy that Jesus was going to shower on them. And when we find ourselves in storms, we find ourselves going through periods of suffering, the most important thing is to know Jesus is with us, and he loves us deeply. And the only time that we're truly lost is when we forget that. And the only time that we're truly separated from God is when we forget that. So I hope everyone who's listening, who's going through a storm, going through suffering right now, Jesus is with you. He is with you, and he loves you, and he's going to keep you safe. He is going to keep you safe, one way or another.
Amen. What a good word today from Leslie Leland Fields, award-winning author, speaker, and commercial fisherwoman. I've been working with her husband and children in the salmon fishing business off of their own island off the coast of Kodiak Island, Alaska, and has written this marvelous new book called Crossing the Waters, Following Jesus Through the Storms, the Fish, the Doubts, and the Seas. Recommended reading from NAB Press. Leslie, blessings to you. Thanks so much for sharing today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's been wonderful.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. We're going to hear some great music coming up here from Hillsongs, but do you want to hear this first?
In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. When my sails are torn, your love surrounds me. In the eye of the storm.
I hope you were encouraged today by our conversation with Leslie Leland Fields, Crossing the Waters, Following Jesus to the Storms, the Fish, the Doubt, and the Seas. And Ted and Carissa, I so appreciate her writing and obviously speaking, and some good words of encouragement today. Let's talk, take away a lesson, something to hang
on
to.
Just the peace be still thing. I mean, no matter what storms you're facing in life, I think all of us are fighting some kind of battle, the saying goes, And so whatever it is for you today, remember that Jesus is with you, and you can just pause and be in his presence and soak that in. Such a good reminder we all need.
Right, and he's calling us to a place of abundance out of that boat. Yeah. It's not a place of lack or uncertainty. He is our anchor of our soul, and it's just so comforting to know. And, it's encouraging to hear Leslie's perspective, especially as a fisherwoman who I was getting a little seasick thinking about all her stories.
But. You will get seasick when you read the book because there's lots of adventures. But isn't that what a wonderful reminder again? And God continues to, he calls us out, but he goes with us too. That's the great thing, right?
Absolutely.
He's just, he's there with us in the midst of it all. And I thought we'd just share this that great song, Oceans. Maybe it's one that your church is singing in worship. It's just kind of a good reminder to cap up what we talked about today. God calls us out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail, but there we can find him in the mystery. In oceans deep, my faith will stand. Give a listen to Oceans.
And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stay.
Help you through whatever storms you might be going through today, and just keep your eyes on Jesus above the waves. Crossing the Water is the book we've been talking about today with Leslie Leland Fields. Such a great conversation. So appreciate her good insights. Hope you had a chance to catch it all. If you missed any part of it, we do post those interviews on our show page after the show. So go to myfaithradio.com and then click on Connecting Faith, and you'll find it there. And of course, it's shareable. Pass it on to a friend who may know somebody that could really be encouraged by that. If they love to fish, they'll especially like
that. Yeah, that's a good one, yeah. Well, you know, talking about storms of life, I mean, pain happens in life, and we'll be talking about that tomorrow.
That's right. Jessica Kelly boldly tackles one of the most difficult questions of the Christian life. If God's all-powerful and all-loving, then why do we suffer? And hear her conversation with Joe Bender about a loss of her son. It's coming up on tomorrow's Connecting Faith. I know you're going to want to listen for it, and I hope that you'll be back with us here